Matt Carmack joining us this morning. Matt worked here at WTLS back in its infancy in the early days.
1961.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
60 and 61.
And worked in the business of radio and television. Many people probably remember Matt from TV. You did some news anchoring for a long time.
1977 to 1995.
In Montgomery for many years.
Yeah. Channel 12, 5 years. Channel 8, 18 months. And that was just to get their weekend news going.
Yeah.
And Channel 32 for 5 years. Channel 9, Columbus, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite job out of all those, if you had to pick?
If I had to pick, probably Channel 9 in Columbus.
Really?
Yeah. Folks there just love TV folks. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Wild time, though. I've had a wild life.
What wild times? What exactly over there? What's
we don't want to go into that.
Come on. That's what everybody's waiting for.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I covered crime in courts when I was at Channel 9.
You've covered some major stories over the night.
Well, I covered some major stories. I guess the biggest story I had was right before I left Channel 12. We had a kidnapping in Montgomery. Missy Devon, who was a court reporter, was kidnapped and murdered. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was the suspect contacted me as a reporter.
Really?
Because when the case broke and he was identified as the suspect, I did several stories on other murders similar in the Montgomery area. And the guy called me and asked me to visit with him in jail, and I did, and eventually he confessed to me.
No kidding.
So I contacted then Attorney General Charlie Granick, and Charlie Granick and his investigator and myself went down and talked to this guy. He confessed, and then a couple of weeks later led us to the skeletal remains over right at the Georgia line. And I took no credit for that until the last day at Channel 12. I covered a speech for Charlie Granick at one of the civic clubs in Montgomery, and he gave me credit for solving the case. And that was, I guess, the highlight of my career. And eventually, the guy who was confessed to the murder was sent to Atlanta under federal kidnapping charges to serve the first term there, and tried to appeal his case on the conviction. And a few years later, hanged himself.
Did he?
In Atlanta. So that's a bad thing on my mind. But by the same token,
I can't imagine what's a murderer. When you're talking with him, and you got the confession, what exactly was going on in this conversation?
He was on drugs. He was on alcohol when the murder occurred, and said he couldn't remember exactly what happened when I first interviewed him. And a few weeks later, I took him a carton of cigarettes, and I asked him, I said, "Did you kill this young lady?" And he said, "Yes."
Just like that?
Yeah. He said, "Saul, the memory came back, and I remember exactly what happened." But he was supposedly high on drugs and alcohol when the murder occurred.
And she was a court reporter.
Yep.
How did he?
Worked in the courts as an assistant or a gopher, if you will. And supposedly he was having an affair in his mind with this young lady. Ooh.
Yeah, those things make a racket, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So anyway, they supposedly had an affair and. That was never confirmed, but in his mind, she was his girlfriend. Mm. And when she said no, then he lost it, supposedly. Mm. But that's the biggest case, I guess, I've ever been involved in.
And it's something that in this business, you can have an impact like that, can't you?
Yeah, you really can. Some of the reporting today I don't agree with. I don't like to interview victims of crimes, relatives of victims of crime, and bring those memories back. I've been there, done that. I just believe they should have their privacy and not be interfered with after a crime's occurred or a death has occurred.
There doesn't seem to be any empathy whatsoever, does it?
Not on reporters' minds today. They want to talk to the family. How do you feel, when your daughter was killed?
Well, obviously, how do I feel?
Oh, gee whiz, what am I going to say? I've been there, done that. I lost a daughter when I was in Columbus and went out of the news business for quite a while to recover. And I would not have wanted a reporter to even mention anything about the death.
Sure.
And I just have a lot of sympathy for victims of crime or death, that I think they should have their privacy. Leave them alone.
It's sensationalism, I guess, isn't it?
It is.
They want to cover
every angle of the story. You know, cover the death, leave the family alone. And I get so irritated with the reporters nowadays who want to talk to the families of victims. That's just not my thinking.
Don Henley had a song about that called Dirty Laundry.
Yep.
Talking about that story with a gleam in her eye, whatever. Mm-hmm. That bothers me as much as anything else, too. When I watch any kind of news reporting on television, is it seems like you got to be able to kind of, sometimes it's overdone. Mm-hmm. It can be fake when somebody comes on and tries to act like they're upset about something. I've seen that, and then you could just see it all the way through. But also you can see it, and there just seems to be no compassion whatsoever towards
I lost it a few years back. There was a horrific accident on the I-85-65 interchange, and all type of live television coverage on this accident was going on because it had everything blocked up. And the reporter on the scene said, can you imagine the horror these people felt going over I-65 interchange onto I-65? And I lost it. I called, and I won't say what I said to the reporter, but
yeah,
I said, don't editorialize on how a person feels. You don't know.
You don't have any idea, yeah.
And I don't want to know. And I said, all people who've lost people in an accident, family members, and you're trying to bring this all back to them, what horror they felt when the accident happened.